Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and serpents. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, "My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth." But remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of our gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In chapter 6, just a bit of background. In chapter 6 of Mark's Gospel, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And here in chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, Jesus again feeds 4,000 with just a few loaves and a few fish. It's then that the Pharisees, where we pick up our text for today, the Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And the And Jesus cautioned the disciples, saying, "Watch out, be aware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of this thought, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we gather for worship and fellowship as Lutherans and Methodists. As we do so, it's my prayer that we who are here and all who see or hear about us worshiping together will see this as a sign from heaven, a sign of unity in a fractured, broken, and divided world. There is one who unites us, one bread into one body. His name is Jesus. We acknowledge our denominational peculiarities, and we have begun, at least in a small way, to see these peculiarities as part of God's diversity in the one body, not as something that should separate or divide us. One bread, one body. This is our theme for today, and in this theme, we acknowledge and celebrate the full communion and pulpit fellowship that we as Lutherans and Methodists share in our denominations together. And we proclaim our unity in Jesus. And in that unity, we proclaim our shared commitments to serving the gospel and to serving and sharing in the mission of God to restore and reconcile the whole world to God's self. One bread, one body, one Lord of all. I invite you now to think on the first part of the theme, one bread. There are many aspects to that word. There are economic aspects. He or she is the breadwinner of the family, we say. It's an economic reference using the word bread as income, as financial support. It's economic. There are many social aspects to the word bread. Breadcrumbs were used in the fable of Hansel and Gretel as markers to find their way home. In that story, those breadcrumbs failed as they were eaten by birds. Other social connections with this word bread might be this metaphor. He knows on which side his bread is buttered. In other words, he knows, it's an old saying, he knows where his best interests lie. In the 1970s, there was a band called Bread. They had hits like "Baby, I'ma Want You," or "Everything I Own," or "Guitar Man." There's a nonprofit group called Bread for the World. They seek and strive to raise funds, to compel people to become advocates for the hungry, the hurting, and the broken in this world. They compel people to advocate with their political leaders to act against the problem of hunger that so many face today. There is a devotional called Bread for the Journey. In our prayer that Jesus taught us, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," or more literally, "Give us this day our bread for tomorrow." When I think about bread from it's a word that takes me back to my own childhood. I was blessed to be raised by a mother who was an excellent baker, and she baked bread regularly. On those days when she baked bread, the aroma filled the house, and it seems as though, as I remember it, she would pull that bread fresh from the oven just about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just in time for a snack of fresh bread covered with real butter and honey or homemade jelly, a snack that would sustain us during the hours of the evening milking chores. That aroma, I can still smell it today. The concept of bread, it seems, is woven into every aspect of life, economic, social, political, religious/spiritual. It's no wonder Jesus, who stood up to and took on the corrupt economic, social, political, and religious or spiritual powers of his day, powers that were crushing people and destroying their lives, it's no wonder Jesus held so tightly to the image of bread. After his baptism in Matthew's gospel, Jesus was driven into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. "If you are the Son of God," Satan challenged, "command these stones to become bread." Quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, Jesus says, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In chapter 7 of Mark's gospel, a Gentile woman of Syrophoenician origin, in other words, a foreigner, comes to Jesus and begs Jesus to heal her daughter from an evil spirit. Jesus replies harshly in this instant. He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs." In courage and humility, the woman retorts, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This shocked Jesus. This faith of this foreign woman shocked Jesus, and he healed her daughter. He embraced her. He fed her. He gave her the bread of life. Hansel and Gretel's breadcrumbs failed them. The crumbs from the bread of life do not, will not fail those who trust in him, who dare to eat from the loaf, from the bread that is Jesus. Jesus says it most plainly in John chapter 6, verse 48. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." As Jesus warns the disciples to be aware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of the yeast of Herod, they still have their mind on bread. Perhaps they were hungry. "We only have one loaf," they said. "We forgot to bring bread." As Jesus becomes aware of this, he is frustrated and he asks them, "Why are you still talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? How many loaves do you need to make it through life?" Jesus asks in so many words. Do we understand this? Do we understand that it takes one loaf to sustain life? Do we understand that it only takes one loaf to be able to be fed upon the bread of life? Jesus is God's Word made flesh. The flesh made bread is the life that we seek, the life that Jesus gives and the life that we need. The Pharisees were promoting the ritual sacrificial system and the book of the law as their way to God. Herod was promoting Rome and the strength of Rome. Jesus comes saying, "I am the bread of life. I am the loaf. I am the one bread that you need. One bread, one body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul begs his listeners and us to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. With humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In chapter 2 of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he writes about the body as being the fragrance that comes from knowing Christ. He says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God." Today, as we gather together, recognizing and celebrating our unity in the one loaf of bread, the one loaf critical for life, Jesus, we smell just a little sweeter. When we recognize our differences not as competition or dividing forces based on who's right and who's wrong, but instead embrace them as part of God's diversity to reach a diverse world, our fragrance reflects a little more fully the fragrance of Jesus. As we pray for each other's ministries, work together through the local ministerial group, as we are together open to God's future work, our aroma will become more enticing to a broken world. At the intersection of the cross, Jesus gave his life as bread for the world, that all may be united as one in God through him. As we inch our way into that new reality, may our aroma be sweet. May our fragrance be compelling for all who are sick of the reality of our broken, fractured, and hurting world, that we may come to the table of the Lord and find one bread, one body, one Lord of all, who unites us in God through his life, the life in Christ Jesus. Amen.